Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Little Miller's Special Victims Unit became the longest-running dramatic hour series in television history last Thursday. Our first guest worked on SVU along that 21-season track and presently oversees both Wu-Tang and American Son on Hulu and the new ABC drama Emergence. Producer Gail Ballinger joins me next. Travel Channel promises one heck of a trip for viewers this month ahead, turning October into Ghostober. The original highlights include a four-hour live ghost search and a scripted docudrama on the first witch hunt in this nation's existence. It's a wide programming landscape, and Travel Programming Development Director Christine Schuler documents it all later this hour. Also ahead, Stranger Things marches on, A Beautiful Mind's new deal, the return of our classic trivia question, also on SVU, and a few closing September thoughts. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audio.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book, three of them, when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A very good Monday afternoon to you and all. And for those of you who mark the first day of Rosh Hashanah today, to all of our Jewish listeners, a very happy, healthy, and hopefully masterful and peaceful new year ahead. We welcome all of you to the Promo Back Television. Big hour in store for you, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Give us a call and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We got a chat room for you as well. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can use the chat room as well as the phone to communicate with us. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. 70 degrees at the top of the hour, and prolific producer Gail Barrington will join us live from Secaucus, New Jersey, after these news notes. Stranger Things will continue on Netflix for a fourth season next year. However, this renewal of the popular suspense tale comes with a multi-year series development arrangement with creators Matt and Ross Duffer, a.k.a. the Duffer Brothers. What's more, the Duffer duo will develop films as well as TV for Netflix. So far, Stranger Things has won 18 Emmy nominations and 5 awards. A Beautiful Mind Oscar-winning writer-producer Akiva Goldsman also has a new TV development deal to call about this afternoon. Goldsman's pact is with the MGM, and off the bat, he'll work on series adaptations of Ringworld, Larry Niven's prize-winning science fiction novel, and Aurora Rising. Ringworld will come to Amazon, with Aurora Rising not landing a TV home yet. At the moment, Goldsman is executive producing Star Trek Picard for CBS All Access and Titans for DC Universe. Food Network Kitchen, the interactive service announced last week by Amazon and Food Order Discovery, Inc., will have two live Thanksgiving specials on tap. Prolific food personality Guy Fieri of Guy's Grocery Games, Diners, Drivers, and Dimes, etc., will host a hotline format primetime program November 22nd. And co-hosts of Weekend Morning Hour, The Kitchen, will dish out holiday cooking tips the next day, right after doing a live two-hour episode of their Food Network series. Food Network Kitchen starts October 20th, available through Amazon Fire TV products, later through other smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Now, two quickies before we get to our first guest. Fox is developing a country music world set family drama for the 2021 season. And a very great renovation on Home and Garden Television has picked up 23.7 million viewers for 3 episodes. Behind the Build special will be carried in 2 parts the next 2 Monday nights. And that is news notes for today. Our first guest today is one of the most prolific producers around in television. Her credits include a stint on Law & Order Special Victims Unit, which last week started its 21st record-breaking season on NBC, becoming the longest dramatic hour in the history of the medium. Right now, she's got 2 shows under her wing. One is Wu-Tang and American Son, which premiered a few weeks ago on Hulu, and whose creator Alex C. was on this program at the start of the month, and Emergence, the new ABC drama that premiered last week. And in fact, gave her an opportunity to reunite with some former SVU executive producers. Joining us live from Secaucus, New Jersey, and in the radio exclusive, Gail Barrington. Gail, welcome in.
Hi, thank you. Happy to be here.
And it's a pleasure to have you here. When you think that Law & Order SVU not only has become the longest-running drama series, but even outran The Mothership by one season, what pops up in your mind about your time there?
I just remember back in 1999 coming out to shoot the show, and we never thought it would go a season, let alone 21. I mean, back then it was putting the show together to go on the air. We had an original name called Sex Crimes, and they changed it to Law and Order Special Victims Unit. And it was just the evolution of the show over time grew and grew in terms of storytelling and fan base. I'm so excited for everyone at Law & Order SVU and their 21 years. They have worked so hard, and I'm really, really happy to say I was part of that for 14 years.
Why do you think the show has run 21? What about the show? What about the cast? What about the subject matter and the impact on viewers do you think has had it become the groundbreaker and the record breaker now it is?
I think the show told stories that really weren't on people's radar, and it opened up. We were talking about stories that addressed victims directly or indirectly, and people really could relate to these shows, and there was just so much heart in the way that they were acted and the dynamics between Mariska and Chris when they were partners, and the legal system and how things really fall apart. I mean, rape kits that just don't go tested for years and get forgotten about. All of those stories, once they came to light, so many people would come out and write us and come up to us and say, I'm a survivor. This happened to me. Your show makes me accept, you know, myself and know that I'm okay and it's going to be okay. And there are places and groups and support groups I can talk to. And it's really important. It had a really big impact on all of us working there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's a big hit.
Absolutely. We have two people, by the way, in our chat room, so welcome in. If you have a question or a comment for Gail, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. And one thing that also came out was the fact that Marissa Hargate not only became a co-star, but also really became so deeply involved that, A, she's now one of the executive producers, B, she also has her own organization that's really dealing with the issue of rape and sex crimes.
I'll tell you something. Season one, Mariska was all in. She founded this her Joyful Heart organization, which helps abuse survivors. Very, very early in the show, we were out meeting people from this organization, Savvy, just people who would go into emergency rooms and give support to victims after a rape. Because back then, and even today, you know, sometimes you just want a different person in the room with you. And she just was so 100% into finding out what this was about. It was so meaningful to her. And it's wonderful that she made such a successful organization. She's raised so much money with Joyful Heart. It's an amazing, she's done amazing work at her time there, both on screen and off screen.
And right now, you are involved in ABC's new drama, Emergence, and guess what? You're reuniting with some of the other key people that executive produced that show.
Yes, it's been a great reunion. At the beginning of the year, we did the pilot with Tara and Michelle, who also worked on Law & Order SVU, and it's great. It's just, it's like a picking up, you know, an old pair of shoes and putting them back on. We're all working really well together and telling fun stories that are not quite the same as SVU. Our show is a little different, more genre-y, but having a really good time nonetheless. It's really great to work with them again.
I would just point out that Michelle and Tara are Michelle Tsavakis and Tara Bodas. We've had them on with Resurrection on ABC, which ran two seasons. One of the best writing, producing pairs in television, and they just continue to keep on keeping on. It's really great that all three of you have reunited on this series. And we'll talk more about Emergence, which premiered last week on ABC, shortly. But one more thing about SVU. How did SVU shape your career, how you produce television, and the shows you produce?
The nice thing about being on a show, I was very lucky to be on a show for such a long time because it taught me that anything that's going to go wrong will probably go wrong. And I don't mean in terms of storytelling, or it's just logistics. My job deals with logistics in terms of getting the show put onto the screen, getting the cast together, the crew together, the locations together. So what it taught me was get ready for anything to happen and figure out a way to get out of it. And after 14 years of doing that, I was able to bring those skills onto my other shows where I kind of feel like, you know what, nothing really shocks me anymore. You know, weather or planes that are delayed, we make it work. And I had a good foundation at SVU on how to handle all those day-to-day snafus that come up.
You're hearing Gail Ballinger. She's one of the former producers on Law & Order Special Victims Unit. which just started its 21st record-breaking season on NBC, 3rd night to 10th Emmy Pacific Time, and now she's one of the producers with two former executives of SVU on Emergence. It's a brand-new series on ABC that premiered last week. We'll talk more about that shortly. And she's with us live from Secaucus, New Jersey this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Adenauer with you live from New York. You are going to get a very happy start of a Jewish New Year to all of our listeners of that persuasion. And if you have a question or comment for Gail, Give a call, make it ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Finally, on Tomorrow We Tell Lies, that we got a big start today for you. Joining us live in an internet radio system, the organizer of Oscar So White, April Rain. She was here in New York a couple weeks ago for the NAMIC conference called Diversity Week, where the TV industry celebrates diversity in the business, and she was absolutely terrific. We'll find out from her what she thinks about TV diversity, and whether diversity on the Emmy Awards was better or not than the Oscars. We'll talk to April Rain from Oscar So White this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. She will be our lead guest on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Don't miss it. I think you will really enjoy this one. Gail, you have really turned SVU into a very prolific career for yourself, and you've had the opportunity to do quite a variety of series. Two of them have been on already. Talk first about the show you did for Netflix, which was a revival of a very popular series, first on PBS and then on Showtime, Tales from the City.
Yeah, we did Tales of the City last year. It was such a great experience. I loved those books by Armistead Maupin back when I was younger, and I remember bringing them with me when I moved here to New York. So to bring bring Barbara Lane to life and put the house back up on stage and have the original cast come in, I mean, Laura Linney and Olympia Dukakis, it was, you know, just a fairy tale come true. It was such a great, great story to work on, especially with the merging of the original cast and then a new cast of characters who are just younger. And, it was a nice merge of what happened in San Francisco to here, well, we carried it over in San Francisco, with just, new non-binary, gender fluid cast members. It was a great way to put that on the screen and get those stories told.
And because it's Netflix, this is the first time that this iconic television story has been able to be seen worldwide. I'm curious what kind of worldwide reaction you got, whether it was from Europe or Asia or Latin America, to this tale.
The reaction was very positive. I mean, a lot of people were just, again, I like to work on projects where I'm telling stories that most people might not be able to see on television or that they can relate to, and because they're in a situation where they're like, this is happening in my life. I can see my life on television. I'm transgender, or I'm in a relationship with someone where we're having the same kinds of problems or issues, and they can relate to it. So the feedback from Tales was very positive, because you don't see a lot of shows like that on TV. They're starting to come out more and more now, which I think is amazing. I mean, Transparent, Pose, they're all wonderful, wonderful shows. But to be a part of Tales and the rebirth of it, to bring it up into, modern time, was very, very special.
And then right after that, you got into Wu-Tang and American Saga, which is currently playing on Hulu.
Yes.
We talked to Alex, the creator of the show, earlier this month, and we got to talk with him about what it was like for him to collaborate with the RZA. What about you collaborating with that hip-hop icon?
Oh, the RZA is fantastic. I had met him over at his time at Marvel when he was directing Iron Fist. I was on Luke Cage. And then just to work with him collaboratively, it was a trip. He's very, very smart. And, we're telling his story. We're telling his life story when he grew up and how they became Wu-Tang Clan. So just, his input and his vision, we just want to put that on the camera and on screen and bring it to life for him. So it was a real trip and really, really fun.
And how has the program gone in the months since it's been on the air? What kind of feedback that you and Alex and RZA and everybody have had on the series?
It's been really positive feedback. There's such a fan base and a foundation of Wu-Tang history with a lot, I live in New York and a lot of people from Staten Island and Brooklyn, everywhere. Everyone loves Wu-Tang Clan. So they're really, really reacting positively to the stories and the show. And I like that they have to wait every week, where it's not like Netflix. We dropped the first three, and now we're doing one week at a time. And so people are excited to see what's going to happen next. And there's a lot of good stuff coming up, really great episodes coming up. Go check it out.
Now, when you deal, Gail, with a real-life situation, whether it's SVU or whether it is RZA with Wu-Tang. Are there certain things or practices as a producer that you do to try to have this have the storylines or have the plot lines be as, and the show overall be as accurate as possible, as true to life as possible, but still being engaging and entertaining?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always take a little creative license with certain story points, and I know we did that. I've done it on every show I've worked on. But yeah, I mean, basically the heart of the story and the foundation of the story is what you're always trying to tell as accurately as possible. But then, you know, you zhuzh it up a little bit where you know, for a little more dramatic effect, so to say, in terms of maybe love stories or romances or, you know, age differences, all those kinds of things we do get to play around with a little bit.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you also worked on the Netflix Marvel shows, at least one of them, Luke Cage, which a lot of people fondly remember. They really think it was a marvelous show. The guy who played Luke Cage was tremendous, I might add, as well as I think he did The Punisher also, and
yeah.
Actually, he did Jessica Jones or some of the other ones. But what was it like overall to work to create a superhero, sort of a modern superhero environment in New York?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, I love shooting in New York and taking the Marvel universe and bringing that to life and blowing things up and having action heroes and costumes. And on Luke Cage, we had a lot of music bands performing in the show. I mean, it was really, really exciting. And it's challenging because, you know, you only have a certain amount of time to make each episode, yet we do a lot of things practically in terms of visual effects and special effects and stunts. So you are in a bit of a time crunch to do it, but you really want to do it well. So you just have to get the right people together and bring it to life. And yeah, I mean, the casts on both of those shows really, really helped elevate that too. And everyone's really vested in it, you know, all of these shows, the actors, they really want to do a good job, and they work hard in training and performing just to elevate the material and make it great.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of, because of the fact that you had four or five series being done in New York under the Netflix Marvel relationship, you also had Daredevil, and you also had Jessica Jones, which of the five original series won the Peabody Award, and still
yes.
Maybe one of the few series sagas ever to win a Peabody, in large part because I think of what Melissa Rosenberg did on the show as a producer, Kristen Rose's fantastic performance, the storylines and so forth, that was there a lot of, did you ever go see the Jessica Jones set or go see the Daredevil set and pick up, or did they come to you and your set to see, like, what can we pick up here in terms of storytelling, in terms of camera technique, in terms of character development that we can apply to their shows?
Well, we were all shooting in the same sort of neighborhood, but our sets never crossed over, so to speak. I mean, they did the version, I think it was, I forget the name, where they all came together. I think the Defenders or something, where they all came together, all four characters, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Jessica, and Daredevil, and they had their own series. But, no, we were always, we would bump into each other in the hall, which would be fun. But, no, we didn't go in. We didn't do crossovers, not the way that Law and Order does sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you look back at that experience, what did you take out of doing the Marvel shows? And what did everybody take out of doing those shows, particularly since they were all done in New York, all done the same thing? I think we're in Brooklyn, right?
Yes.
The set was in Brooklyn.
We were in Brooklyn. I think between the Marvel shows, and I had done a show before that called Person of Interest, I can tell you how to blow up a building. I can tell you how to throw someone off a roof. I can tell you lots of fun, action-y things. I know how to do them now, which is fantastic. And to do them in New York City, in a very populated town, even if it's Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of impressive that, you know, there's such a great group of people out here who help you get that on screen. So, yeah.
Well, what has you stay in New York? What is it that's – because we are now seeing more and more TV shows – being produced in New York. You mentioned Person of Interest. I ran a good chunk of time on CBS. God Friend and Me also is now back for a second season.
Yeah.
Great show, by the way. I think it uses New York beautifully. And we had one of the co-stars, Siraj, on our show a year ago.
Oh.
But what has you stay in New York? What do you like as a producer about producing there?
What I like about it's twofold. I mean, New York City is a character in every show that shoots here, no matter – there's nothing like New York City in terms of locations, feel, tone. I mean, Brooklyn, you know where you are, and it photographs beautifully. So I love to show the city as a character in the show, no matter which one I do. But then on top of that, it's just the talent pool of cast and crew who are here. It's a great place to work. They're wonderful, wonderful people who I now call dear friends. And we, you know, you work somewhere really hard, and we work long hours, and we work in all sorts of weather, but we're a team, and there are great people who share resources and who just want to keep shooting in our city. We love it. It's a great place to work.
Producer Gail Ballinger is currently working on Wu Tang and American Saga, which is now running on smart TV sets and smart TV lights through Hulu, and just launched last week the new ABC series Emergence. We'll talk about that in a moment. Gail joins us live from the Caucus, New Jersey, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. First of our two guests on this Monday afternoon, and happy year long for the ride, whether you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Thought I'd have on with you live from New York, New York. 70 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Gail on remaining minutes with her. Make that call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We welcome Borkle by 3. How about that for a tag name into our chat room? So if you have a question or comment, get it in or give us that call. Coming up a week from Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, one of the top analysts who follow TV will be with us, Mike Borkhouse. Used to be head of Mad Advisors, now he's got his own firm, Borkhouse Advisors. We'll get his thoughts about the smart TV and smart TV device scene and where it is all taking us, and much more, too. That's Mike Borkhouse of Borkhouse Advisors. He's with us next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And once again, coming up this Friday at our regular time, we will have, as our lead guest, the organizer of Oscars So White, April Rain. So, Gail, talk about Emergence and how you got involved with it and reunited not only with Michelle and Tara from SVU, but also one of your colleagues or former colleagues at Marvel.
So it was pilot season, and I had read about Emergence, and I knew that I read the people attached, and I got really excited, and I rang my agent who set me up with a meeting, and that was that. And we were going to shoot the show up in Massachusetts or Rhode Island, but we were worried about weather. And the New Jersey tax incentive had just been reestablished here in New Jersey. And I said, well, what do you think about New Jersey? You get the New York crew, get New York cast. We can, you know, cheat some beach town looks down here. And they agreed, and here we are. So I also got to work with Paul McGuigan, who shot the first two episodes of Luke Cage in season one. Paul is a wonderful director from the UK. And we shot the pilot here in Secaucus in Kearny, New Jersey, and it got picked up, and we have been out here since July shooting the rest of the season.
And it's on, what night is it on, by the way? What's the time period?
We are on Tuesday nights, ABC, at 10 o'clock.
And you have a wonderful actress that's in the lead role, Alison Tolman, and I believe she plays a police chief who finds a girl at an accident and pick up the story from there.
Yes, Allison is a wonderful actor who finds a little girl named Piper, played by Alexa Swinton, and they find her on the beach, at the site of this mysterious plane crash. So we don't know how the plane crashed. We don't know what caused the plane crash or who caused the plane crash. And Allison's character, Joe, takes Piper under her wing and wants to protect her until they find out what's going on with Piper, because some bad people are out to get her.
Now, when you do a show like this, one thing I would guess to keep in mind for the audience is how much of the mystery do you unravel piece by piece by piece? I know you can't give us like the whole where's all this, but can you give us a sense of how you have to deal with that issue of how do you unravel the mystery, or how do you expand the mystery so that it's more than just one?
Well, it's you want to unravel the mystery in chunks. You know, it's a slow burn in a way. We are a 13-episode show, so you want to unravel it in little piece by piece and still keep viewers watching and captivated with how you're telling the story. And what I love about working with Tara and Michelle is that they're very seasoned at that storytelling skill, and they take their time and they drop little hints that just, you know, again, as the story unfolds, you find more mysteries that pop up within it. So it really does keep you hooked. It's a great show, and there's lots of twists and turns.
As a producer, do you like to be like the kind of producer that zigs when everybody else zags? that you want to always, like, leave people off, not be stereotyped and put in a specific box of, I only produce contemporary drama. I only produce comedy. I only produce genre shows, superhero shows, super science fiction shows. How do you sort of look at your career and try not to stereotype yourself or put yourself in a box?
I like to go to, I get drawn towards the material, and you know, you could look at my stuff and say, oh, well, she only does genre. Well, no, I mean, I was so moved with Tales of the City. I worked very hard to be part of that show. I really wanted to do that series. So it's really about what's on the page that captivates me, and just the double whammy for me was knowing Tara, Michelle, and Paul on Emergence, for example, and just knowing, well, whatever they do is going to be fantastic, and it is. So I get to work with people I've worked with before and tell a great story. I mean, it's just, even with Wu-Tang, it's something that, you know, I don't know much about Wu-Tang, but I learned a lot about it on this show, and it was just, their story was so compelling, and how they rose through their struggles to become who they are, and they broke the mold with the hip-hop era. It's fantastic. So I just go towards what the storytelling is, and if it resonates with me, then, yeah, I want to do it.
Gail, final question before I let you go. Where do you go next? Do you, obviously you're shooting Emergence right now. Do you come back to Wu-Tang for a second season if that's approved by Hulu? Do you try to develop other shows? And ultimately, do you see yourself as like a multi-series entrepreneur where you're working on a number of shows at the same time?
Well, fingers crossed that Wu-Tang American Saga gets a second season. As for Emergence, hopefully I can leapfrog on both. I have done two shows at once, and I like to, it's a lot for me. It's just a lot of logistics. I am one of those people who is on set and in with the prepping team quite a bit, so it's hard to clone myself, but never say never. So it's always exciting to see what else is out there as well, but I am very fond of both Wu-Tang and Emergence, so I'm sending good vibes that they both get picked up.
Well, we'll highlight them right now. Wu-Tang and American Saga, Season 1, already playing on Hulu. If you have a smart TV set or smart TV device, chances are that service is available 24/7 in your area. And if you want more details about the program and the rest of Hulu, you can go to www or just hulu.com. And Emergence, the brand new ABC drama that Gail is the producer on. Check it out Tuesday night. If it means tomorrow night, episode 2, 10 p.m. specific time. Don't forget to check your local list for the ABC station in your area, like WABC-TV here in New York, KBC in Los Angeles. And more details about that series, abc.com or abc.go.com. And Tales of the City, or Tales of the City, I should say, still playing on Netflix, netflix.com for that. And again, smart TV sets, smart devices, carry that series. And who knows what else down the road. And, of course, the 21st season of Law & Order, Special Victims Unit, continues this Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on NBC. For more details, NBC.com. Gail Barringer, thank you so much for a delightful time being with you. Congratulations on getting Emergence off the ground, Wu-Tang off the ground, Tales of the City off the ground, and your career. Best, of course, to you, Michelle, Tara, everybody involved in Emergence, and continued success with your career. It's been an absolute delight to have you today.
Thank you. You as well. Take care.
You too. All the greatest.
Bye-bye.
Gail Barringer, producer on Emergence and Wu-Tang American Saga, and former producer on Law & Order Special Victims Unit, joining us live from Secaucus, New Jersey. Watch tomorrow, Retail Line is coming way short, but first some fine words from the people at Audible.com. Are you a fan of The Daily Show and its wonderful host, Trevor Noah? If you are, you know that he's written a book recently about his experiences growing up. It's called Born a Crime. And he, in fact, absolutely... You can get that wonderful book in audiobook form. He narrates it, too, with a trial run at audible.com. You know, audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and quite a lot of inspiration, too. Why not? Over 180,000 titles to choose from, including the growing catalog of Audible Originals. It's everything from the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater from around the country, one-woman, one-man shows, and a lot of original productions made especially for audible.com. The great thing is, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. And right now, you can get not one, not two, but three audiobooks for a one-month trial, plus great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. What do you have to do for that? Just go to audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised, and make it happen. So once again, if you want to know how Audible can transform the way you hear the world, well, go to audiblechild.com/televised. And by the way, just a moment ago, Mobile Bike 3 in our chat room had this to say. Television has changed so much that I no longer understand. I used to dearly love TV, and now it's so complicated I can't use the technology, and the shows are so different. I feel a huge loss in my life. The television right now no longer have an on-off switch, volume control, or channel dial. Oh, I'm sorry about that. But hopefully, try to work that out so you can catch a lot of great television, including some TV that we're about to talk about in the next half hour from Travel Channel, which is going to make this October, starting tomorrow, a Ghosttober. We'll find out all about it when Christy Schuller, former development director, joins us live from New York. That's coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour. Oh, also, classic trivia question of the week. And I'll have some final thoughts about a very illuminating September for the future of television. All ahead after we pause at the top, bottom of the hour for web identification. You see the best program in the world. That's right, the best internet radio on the planet at www.blogtalkradio.com and Spreaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR and Spreaker are your home for Big Blend Radio. Check it out with Nancy Reed and Lisa Smith. You'll find it very entertaining and also very healthy, too. Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. That's Big Blend Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best VCR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Monday afternoon. First day of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, to all of our people involved with that. Happy and healthy start of your new year. Thanks for tuning in on the program All About Television. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Another great guest coming away from right here in the Big Apple. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's give us a call at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, as Bobo 53 is doing. And sooner you get in the room, sooner we hear from you. In fact, we just heard from Bobo again saying that his HD antenna is supposed to be the ultimate has never once worked as well as rabbit ears. What can I say? But right now, what we're going to do is turn to another topic, and that topic is Travel Channel. And if you've been with us over the last year or so, you know the Travel Channel has made a very interesting directional change in its identity. It's not just travel programming anymore. It's traveling to places of the paranormal and the supernatural. And that is going to really showcase itself starting tomorrow when October at that network becomes Ghosttober. Joining us live to talk all about it is the Programming Development Director at Travel Channel here in New York, Christine Schuller. Christine, thanks for coming on.
Hey, no problem. Hi, Simon.
Hello there, Christine. So how long has this Ghosttober been in the making?
Well, this is our second Ghosttober, and we've been, you know, we're open all year round in the paranormal business, and so we've been gearing up for Ghosttober since last year.
And by gearing up, I mean, this is a really interesting thing for your network, because you've never done a month like this since you've gone into the paranormal world, where you have every night an original show, you have all sorts of different shows, and as the viewers are going to find out, there really is a tremendous range in terms of the approach to the programming.
Yeah, that's right. We've been really busy, and thank God it's radio, so you can't see the circles under my eyes. We have more than 70 hours of original programming coming on in Ghosttober. We've got all the boos and whistles coming at you, and there is a wide range from historic retelling of events that deal in the supernatural and paranormal, and also live active investigations.
Mm. By the way, we have somebody who is awaiting us on the phone. We'll get to that person shortly, so hang in there. We're going to get to you momentarily. Was that by design to try to do a wide variety of formats, not just do the same thing night after night? And give a little more sense of how the programming is going to go.
Right. Well, every night we'll have something new. We have new series that are coming on in October. We also have some returning teams that are coming back for new seasons. We have a new series that I'm really excited about called The Holzer Files, and that is really opening up Pandora's box, a time capsule of paranormal cases that were collected by America's first ghost hunter, Hans Holzer. And so I think there you'll find some, you know, history. You'll find mysteries that are starting with something tangible, which in the paranormal world is very rare. And you'll have an exclusive look into the past as we move the mystery forward. And then you'll have a live television event on this Friday from 8 p.m. until midnight. We'll be broadcasting live with an all-star team of Travel Channel talent in Salem, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's not the only Salem story that you're going to see this coming up. We'll talk about another one, and maybe one of the most unique things that Travel has done. We'll talk about that in a bit. Let's get into more about this live show. Let's talk about the Hans Holder thing for a second. Where do we discover what Holder did? I mean, this is where the Travel comes into play. So where in that series, the Holder file, where do we go in terms of discovering what this famous ghost hunter was all about?
Well, as far as where we'll go, it's all across the United States. So from New York to old San Diego, including right here in Manhattan. But, you know, where we start is in the past. And Hans was a prolific investigator, and he amassed thousands of documents and audio recordings and film for 60 years. And his daughter has now just given us access to these files to reopen them. Not to retrace his steps, but to look very carefully at these files and see, is there something Hans had a hunch about that he could never get to the bottom of? Can we go back there? Can we find living eyewitnesses right now who can invite us back in time to tell us what happened when Hans was there and what can we solve now? Some of these places we're finding still have paranormal activity, and we're able to go back in and, with Hans's clues, using new technology, find more answers. Do we find everything? No, because in 50 years, someone's going to come back and look at our work and move it forward. So I'm really excited about this because of the opportunity to share the paranormal world with people by hearing voices from the past, by hearing some real archive. It's very unnerving, and it really puts you in the right frame of mind to get ready to hear something new. I mean, the programming on Travel Channel right now deals a lot with the unexplainable and the unknown. And in television, as you know, it's a visual medium. How do you create, how do you show the unexplainable? How do you show the unknown? How do you make this three-dimensional? How do you make this an immersive experience? And it takes a lot of different execution techniques, from the talent to the storytelling to the research, to be able to bring this world to people. I noticed one of your chat room notes, somebody had said, you know, what, television is unrecognizable, or there's too much going on and what have you. And I agree. And what Travel Channel is doing right now is finding a reason for people to come, to have a shared experience, to feel something. You know, these are shows that you can't Google. You know, it's not something that you can just inactively click like and scroll through Instagram. This is a collective immersive experience with a lot of, you know, I think the core of all of our programming is it could be, which is so much more immersive and unnerving than watching a program that says, yes, it is because I say so. You know, it could be is an open-ended adventure that we can all participate in. And so there are a number of different points of view that we're going to bring to you in October that will celebrate that could be.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you were saying about the unknown, the unexplained, it just reminded me that 60 years ago, there was a TV series called One Step Beyond, otherwise known as Alcoa Presents, where John Nolan, the famous actor-director, would every week introduce a tale of psychic phenomena that was based on a true situation. I'm sure he faced the same thing with how we and his production team, led by Collier Young and Lauren Gerard, how do we showcase these cases of psychic phenomena, especially when the psychic phenomena is something that, as he likes to say, explain it we cannot, disprove we cannot. We simply invite you to check out the world of the unknown and take that one step beyond. Believe it or not, 60 years old today, this year. And you can see many classic episodes of One Step Beyond on YouTube. He's amazing. All right, let's take a call, and let's find out what known we have, or known quantity we have. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Hello, come in. All right, we'll try again in a moment. And by the way, Bubblebite just got in on the chat room and said that some of his favorite shows was One Step Beyond, as well as The Outer Limits of the Twilight Zone. So very, very cool on that. And Twilight Zone, in my opinion, is still one of the best TV series, if not the best television drama ever made. I'll try again to see if we can get this caller in. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on. All righty. All right, we're going to speak with Christine Schuler. She is the Director of Programming and Development at Travel Channel, which, starting tomorrow, their network becomes the home of Ghosttober. All October long, very unique specials, series, and live events dealing with the world of the unknown, the world of the supernatural, the paranormal, the unexplainable. And, of course, Travel Channel available on cable and satellite all over the U.S. of A. Christine joins us live from New York. If you have a question or comment for her, make the call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, TimeAppleZero4. But I want to thank, again, Vopal53 for his wonderful comments in the last few minutes in our chat room. Keep them coming and give us that call. We want to hear from you if you like. And coming up again Friday on Tomorrow We Televised, in person, the organizer of the movement Oscar So White, April Rain. She will be our lead guest. And coming up next Monday, we'll have the new Chief Executive Officer of Vorhaus Associates from Foley & Magnet, Mike Vorhaus. He has a lot to say about where smart TV sets and smart devices are at and how they are dictating where TV is currently going and will be going in the future ahead. So tune us in next Friday and the following Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. So one of the other shows that you're personally involved in, Christine, is this live four-hour program out of Salem. What's it designed to do?
Well, you know, I think that restless spirits are misunderstood. And there are a lot of people attracted to Salem, Massachusetts because of paranormal activity that they believe is connected to the Salem witch trials more than 300 years ago. So there are things lingering in and around that area and the village and the town that are haunting historic spots right now. There's even believed to be a curse over Salem related to the witch trials. So, you know, what is really in Salem? We'd like to find that out. We'd like to open a line of communication with what is there and perhaps try and, you know, settle some misunderstood convictions. I mean, some of these people were tortured to death and convicted to and sentenced to death for crimes of being a witch. Of course, they were not witches. And can we bring some paranormal justice? There's also going to be, we'd like to try and drive towards not only that sense of justice, but closure for some of these misunderstood spirits that may be haunting Salem.
Mm-hmm. And it's a four-hour deal. So how do you try to keep the viewer interested for all 4 hours or as much time as possible?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're going to be broadcasting live from three different locations around Salem, all connected to the Salem witch trials. Each one has their own unique story and history in this dark chapter of American history. There are many entities, spirits, if you will, who are said to be haunting those places. So it will take us a while to unearth, connect with, provoke, bring out those spirits into conversation and start to develop a profile of who's there. We have a lot of experiments we're going to be doing to open these portals, to open these channels of communications. We'll have lots of special guests. And of course, we have a lot of familiar faces that are part of our Travel Channel programming teams, our top-tier investigators, Jack Osborne, Katrina Weidman, Adam Berry, Amy Bruni, psychic medium Chip Coffee. We have the Ghost Brothers coming, and the team from the Holzer Files. So we've got a lot of people on hand and a lot of special guests coming in to keep to keep the spirits engaged and also our viewers engaged. But most importantly, what I think is really exciting is that this is a very interactive show. Viewers at home can watch 6 live streaming cameras that are feeding live from these haunted locations. And they can watch those on Facebook, on Travel Channel's Facebook page. And they can watch for activity. And they can send us reports of what they're seeing. And we're going to tell them how they can do this. But there will also be an opportunity for those who are watching to help us in a seance at the end of the program to help us bring this paranormal justice to the disturbed spirits.
And Facebook announced about a week and a half ago they're launching a new product in November called Portal TV, where you can do video chat on your television set using a special device you place on top of the set. It'll be interesting to see if you do this again next year, whether those streams could go on Portal TV as well as in other smart TV sets, smart TV devices. Before we go, Fred, let's see if we can finally get that caller to be on the air and get out of the spirit world. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead, you're on the air. Hello, hello. I guess still in the spirit world, what can we say?
It's just like being on a paranormal investigation. You have to be very, very patient. Ghosts can be quite shy and unpredictable, so I'm used to calling out into the darkness. Hello, hello. It's very familiar to me.
Me too. Me too. In 12 plus years of doing this program, longer than your life. But that's the deal. Now, there's something that Travel Channel has never done in its existence that you're going to do with this month, and that is you're doing a scripted miniseries dealing with the Salem witches, the Salem witch trial. Talk about how you decided to do that, because that is not what Discovery has been saying lately. We're no longer doing scripted shows except for Oprah Winfrey Network. But this is really special for you.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's what I was talking about earlier is that when you are trying to bring the unexplainable and the unknown to life in a 3D way that's visual, having something like the Holzer Files programming puts that right in front of you. You can hear it. You can see it. Hans was there, and he's brought we're bringing his files to life. So, you know, any time that we can dig into history to help us explain what might be going on now, ghosts are living history, if you will. So to be able to take the viewer back in time more than 300 years ago to Salem, Massachusetts, to the epicenter where the original witch hunt comes from, I think really helps make the paranormal more three-dimensional, more visceral, more of a visual experience for everyone. So yes, we haven't done anything like this before, but being able to tell this history that has created this energy and this perfect storm for paranormal activity to live on today more than 300 years ago, I mean, that's very powerful. So that's why we're doing the scripted history series, and I really hope people tune in, especially after watching the live event in Salem. They can get more information on the history that created this paranormal situation. I think they'll really enjoy that.
And that program is called Witches of Salem. It's a 4-part series. The first part comes up this Sunday night, October 6th, 10 p.m. Pacific time on Travel Channel. We have another caller, and I believe this time it's real and it's live. Hello, you're on Tomorrow. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb from Philadelphia. Just want to wish you a happy New Year.
Thank you. Thank you. You too, and all of our Jewish friends as well in Philly. We're delighted to have you. And you're on the air with Christine Schuler. Go right ahead.
Hi, Christine. I heard where you just referenced to Simon's other caller, the ghost hiss on the other line. And I've done some like ghost hunting production as a cameraman and doing audio for like some pilots for people mm-hmm. who are ghost hunters. So I'm wondering, how do you go through all the footage? Is there any like new software that helps find like the blips and beeps, like where, my God, I would film so much footage. I'd be there like all night at certain places all the way until sunrise. And I don't know how they went through all the footage. Luckily, I wasn't in on that. So, like, how do you do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, it's another reason why we're digging back into Hans Holzer's files, because there is new technology today that can enhance things and can reveal answers to mysterious questions. Yes, there is software. I'm not an audio engineer, but I do know that our teams are using available audio enhancement equipment, and also, as you say, to look for the audio wave files. If there's hours and hours of recording, let's say we've let something run overnight, but some of it doesn't show up as big of a blip as you might think. So you know, a lot of times it still comes down to real time listening. And yes, someone will sit in the dark and listen and go through all of the material, and it's painstaking, but it's so exciting when you hit on something, when you hear a whisper. I can't explain it, but I have heard these audio recordings to my ear, and they make your stomach turn. Just thinking about it, it's very unnerving. And I've even heard disembodied voices for the first time on the investigations in the last few months, and I can't explain it. But yes, new technology does help us, but also just there is a certain feeling. A sixth sense that we all have, and that is the most valuable tool still in the ghost hunting investigations.
Cool. Well, very cool, and I'll definitely be checking it out, and I definitely agree. Anytime I heard that, it's chilling sometimes when you hear something and you're like, where did that come from?
Wow. Right.
So thanks for your answer, and best wishes on a successful Ghosttober month.
Thanks, Rick.
Absolutely. And thanks, Simon. Happy New Year again.
You too. All the very best. And by the way, from Vocal Fight 3, he's got another idea for you. Photoshop.
Photoshop, yeah.
Thanks, Simon.
Well, thanks, Simon.
I mean, it would be easy. It would be so easy to Photoshop your way through a show. But I can just tell you personally, I would get really bored of that. I am really excited to have our producers challenge me as a producer and as somebody on the receiving end of all of these wonderful hours programming. I'm not trying to ask people to believe in ghosts if they watch the show, but it's very important to me that we're producing programming that people can watch and believe that the storytellers, the investigators, that they believe, that they have a passion, that they're driven to find something that we've been searching for forever. And I don't know how close we'll get, but it's really exciting. It's just, you know, it's a new form of investigation, of searching.
Before we go, I just want to mention a couple of other attractions that will be happening throughout Ghosttober. In fact, the first attraction is coming up tomorrow night at 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time. It's called Most Terrifying Places, some of the most interesting places where you can find the supernatural and ghosts and et cetera around. And there's also a new series that's premiering later in the month, I believe it's on October 21st, called My Horror Story, where you will hear and see personal, particular, individual subjects and the horrors that they have encountered one way or the other. Again, it's all part of Ghosttober, the Travel Channel's first excursion of this nature in the world of the unknown. Original shows all month long in prime time. Check your locals for where the Travel Channel is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the programming online, go to travelchannel.com. That's travelchannel.com. Ghosttober gets underway tomorrow, October 1st, and runs all month long. They're calling it 31 Days Up there. Christine Schuer, Program Development Director of Travel Channel, thank you so much for coming aboard. Good luck with this new excursion for your network, and hopefully we may have a new ghostly tradition to look forward to every October.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure all the way, Christine. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye.
Christine Schuler, Program Development Director of the Channel, joining us live here in New York. Now it's time for our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. After a week off, it is back, and we have two prizes for you, both books. If you're first with the correct answer, you will get the three-minute rule. Say less to get more from any picture presentation by previous TWBT guest Grant Pendivic, himself a reality show producer executive, and also The Comeback, How Innovation Will Restore the American Dream by the head of the Consumer Technology Association, the person who puts CES together every year in Vegas, Gary Shapiro, with a foreword by Mark Cuban. And because we are celebrating Law & Order SVU's record-breaking season 21st, here is the question, which is SVU-oriented. How many partners, or should I say how many seasons, did Olivia Benson, played by co-star and now star Mariska Hargitay, how many seasons did Olivia Benson, her character, have a partner? How many seasons, we're talking seasons, did Olivia Benson, her character, have a partner? If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Make sure when you email, include your name and where you're from. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the three-minute rule by Grant Pendivic and the comeback by Gary Shapiro. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we'll post it tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so. And all the very best. And now, closing comment. In a few hours, we will close the book on September 2019, and we will start the last third, or I should say the last quarter of the year. And it should be some kind of quarter, October, November, December. And if there's something that I think sums up in one word what we learned about television's near and far future, it's this: illuminating. And in four ways that I can count. First, if anybody thought that interactive TV, that we're not in this era of interactive TV, really? Well, I think that went out the door. Why? The launch of Apple Arcade, now you can get interactive gaming up to 100 games for like $5-6 a month, and you don't have to use a PlayStation or a Xbox to do it. Use your voice, thanks to smart TV sets and devices, or joystick or controller. Emmy Award winner for Bandersnatch is Best Interactive Program for Netflix. And, as was announced last week, Food Network Kitchen, which starting October will offer everything from follow the recipes you can call up with your remote control or with your voice to Alexa, to live interactive cooking classes, some of which some interactive specials like we announced in News Notes today. And believe it or not, the opportunity to have kitchen utensils and food ordered and delivered right to you. Secondly, smart TV sets, smart TV devices, the programming revolution is on. BET Plus launched nearly 2 weeks ago. More networks going on through smart TV sets and devices, and we now know more about when Apple TV Plus, when Disney Plus, when HBO Max and Peacock will launch. Three, the Emmy Awards. One of the worst award shows in recent memory. I won't go over what I said last Monday, but let me say this. Heads got to roll at the TV Academy and the people who produced this show, and it's got to be better, or else the decline in audience for this series and I think the reputation of broadcast television in particular and TV in particular is going to go down. And finally, we learned a lot about 5G from Dr. Winnett. We had him on this program live from the New York City Media Lab Summit. I think it was one of the most illuminating interviews I've had in a long time. And if anyone thinks that 5G is just a smartphone deal, when you heard Joshua, it is not. It's a TV deal, and a very big TV deal. And if you did hear the interview, I hope that you will go to www.blogtalkradio.com/televised and check it out. Again, thanks to all of our guests for being here, all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, April Rain from Oscar So White will be with us on Friday's episode. Tomorrow we televised was brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. But tomorrow we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you really to all my Jewish listeners. A very happy, healthy start to your Jewish New Year. We're back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio speaker on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you are doing between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.